Right. Well, today we have the honour of having John Pattenden speak, and I'm really looking forward to that. And I thought I would just go first with the activity because JR's got to get back to his room. It's quite a long way from here, you know, Judith. Okay, the activity is think about how you create peace in your life and what does that mean to you? Okay, peace. That's really easy. You just have a glass of wine. Now, the exercise, John, was absolutely brilliant and I contemplated it for the whole time I knew about it. I contemplated it every day. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Yes. Okay. So this is my response.
Where are you?
The only thing that could come to my mind was the word Christ, because Christ is the Prince of Peace. And Christ is not a technique, nor can we find him through a technique. And this sounds like a sermon, I'm really sorry, but I say with JR every single day, Lord Christ, I offer myself 100% to you. And that's not an easy thing to say, but that's what we do every single day. And Christ is an experience. Once had, no other will do. No spiritual traveling, no healing techniques.
No, it's true.
Christ flows through us 100% if we allow him 100% into our lives. So that's the only healing technique I ever use. And I notice when someone needs healing, my hands start to tingle. But I don't give healing unless it's requested, ever. So Mercy used to say to me when she was very little, Mum, I don't understand what Christ means. And I said, just think of love, because when she was a child, Mario said, that child just oozes love. So I said, just think of love. And when I was 14, I absolutely and completely had a longing to see Christ. And Nat King Cole had a song on the hit parade at that time. It was in 61. And it was called Love is the Thing. And the lyric went, what does it matter if we're rich or we're poor? Fortune and fame, they never endure. Love is the thing. Oh, love is the thing. And that love, to me, was Christ. Always was. I want to also mention that every single day of my life, I have a daily personal affirmation. JR and I don't do everything together. We have our own devotions and a together devotion and our own exercises and a together exercise. So my daily affirmation is, thank you to the Archangel of Australia for the huge embrace that I have received. When I became an Australian, I cried. I couldn't help it. I just cried. It was so, so powerful. The power of that embrace. And it's real, the Archangel of Australia. It's so real. And we are so lucky to be living here in peace. We listen to people complain about ridiculous things. And I often say out loud, for God's sake, you're not living in Gaza. You're not living in war-torn country.
You cry.
So I thank Christ and the Brotherhood who set aside a house for us. And the words Western Victoria came into my head, and JR started looking on the computer, and he saw this house. So it's not that we were running away, it's just that it was sitting here waiting for us, and we absolutely knew that we were meant to be here. And it's an incredible place of peace. And by the way, peace is not just external, that is the internal peace as well. That's what gives us the internal peace. And so I thank Christ and the Brotherhood for whom we work and are available every day, because we live in peace within and without. Funnily enough, I dislike comfort. I've never liked comfort. It's so, so boring. Yet I'm always at peace within through the power of Christ. And we together do our devotions every day, as I've already said. And at the end of it, we sit in a almost reverie, silence, stillness, peace, love, freedom, and the power just rolls in. And that is the power of peace, the peace that passeth all understanding. Now, the last thing I want to say is that I have a life of self-reflection, and it's the most challenging thing, because we don't always play the game right. We sometimes behave very badly. I know I do. And it's very easy to just let it go. But self-examination every day, that's why Mario gave us the time reversal exercise, to stop at a point and actually forgive yourself. Really important to forgive yourself, yes. And it's very, very healing and empowering. And in the finality, I think I'd have to say, like I said last month, everything begins and ends with me. The lovely, lovely words that JR wrote in his song have allowed me to change. And I couldn't say any of this today if I wasn't 77 years of age, because I've not always been like this. I've not always been at peace. But now it comes with age, and that's it. And I know, Judith, you experience that yourself. Anyway, the last words of that song were, peace, love, and freedom. And it all begins with me. So shall it be.
So shall it be.
Just letting Margaret in.
Recording in progress.
I can't see Margaret. There's a
Her camera is off.
Her camera is off, I think.
Twice.
Margaret, can you put your camera on?
Your what? Sorry?
Oh.
Your camera.
I'm
on
not
the
sure
computer.
How to do that.
How does she do it?
She
JR,
probably has to start the
video.
Margaret, go down to the bottom left hand of your screen, and there should be something that says start video.
Okay, I've got start video.
Margaret, do you have two computers on?
I've been trying to get. I'll turn off my phone now.
Right.
Yeah, sorry. I couldn't get. Yeah. Sorry. I'm trying. Oh, get off.
You're telling Margaret.
Sounds like you're talking to a dog.
Probably am. I'm really sorry. I can't get it. Oh, there we go. I think that is that better? No. Oh, John, I went down to stop video, but I can't.
No, but if it's don't stop the video. it should say stop video because it means that the video is working.
Yes.
So, are you on a PC, Margaret, or a phone?
An iPad. I'm actually on a PC.
So you might want to open up the camera. You might find that there's a little thing that shuts the camera on the top.
On the top?
Where the camera is, there's a little round thingy, and it might just have a sliding cover on it.
Because on the frame.
If you've got stop video showing, then your camera is going to something's in front of it.
Oh.
But you've still got two things going because you're reverberating.
Jeez, I'm so sorry.
It's all good.
Well, we can hear you, which is great. I might at this point hand over to JR because he's going to take it from here to ask people to give their responses because he was so good at that last time. So, darling, would you like to take your job on?
Yeah. Just say to Margaret, look, don't worry, Margaret. As long as you can hear us and we can hear you, I think we'll just go with
Thank
that
you.
At the moment.
Thank you.
Okay, Melody asked me to invite everyone, and I thought the first person I would invite is myself. Just so that you get the Rawsons out of the way, because when we started mentioning a couple of things that we had thought about, we realised that we were saying almost the same things. So in the end, we had to say to the other person, "Don't tell me any more." And I was so grateful to John Pattenden for setting us this because we see war all the time, but harder to see examples of peace, isn't it? And I noticed on the news yesterday and today that some of the protesters against the war in Gaza, and they have every right to protest, have taken it to another level and started threatening politicians and other people defacing things that many Australians quite value. And I've thought, well, no wonder there's war in your country because you've brought that war with you in your hearts. And now you want to project it out onto another society and create exactly the same state of war that you've left behind because you haven't found peace. Peace has to be found within self. And he has already said that. And like Melody, when I saw the word peace, I first thought of Christ as the Prince of Peace. And I was reminded of a priest meeting we had with Mario a long time ago. And one young, new, audacious priest said to Mario at the meeting, "Mario, I noticed that Christ is the Prince of Peace, but Melchizedek
is the king."
So since a king is higher than a prince, does that mean that Melchizedek is higher than Christ in evolution? And a much older and more seasoned and wiser priest couldn't contain himself. It's always the guys that have to stick their noses in, isn't it? And he said, "I cannot believe that anything's higher than Christ." So after all the few roar and tumult had settled down, Maria said, well, yes, actually, it's true. Melchizedek is higher than Christ. And in actual fact, Melchizedek has passed beyond our reach, in a sense. And if you've done Wise Art Level 3, then the answer to that particular conundrum is given in Level 3. But when I thought about Melchizedek, the king of priests, he gave gifts to Abraham, who's our ruling thoughts, and the gifts of bread and wine. That's the energies, our native energies of the etheric, and the wine is the astral. And I think that always the astral is the cause of war, the conflicts within the astral and the thinking, so that we have to somehow create peace within the astral. And I loved it that Melody said that self-reflection was the road that she had found. And that is, for me too, the royal road, that we have to listen. And I do notice that listening is not highly valued in our society. It's not really even highly valued amongst our priests sometimes. So a lot of talking goes on, and I don't quite always see the listening, and particularly the listening to self, because I think if you can't listen to yourself, you certainly can't listen to anyone else. And when I hear myself saying all sorts of stupid things, then I know how to correct it. So any amount of wisdom that I've acquired at this incarnation has not been through books or through study or through esoteric means. It's been through listening to stupid things that I've said in my life and growing a little bit from that each time. The other thing that I noticed when I was working on the meditations for Pentecost, which are mainly about the book of Revelation, is that there's a lot of war in that. And in fact, the phrase war, there was war in heaven. And I remember Mario saying that you think there's war on this earth, boys and girls, you have no idea of the war in spirit. You think it's all peace and love and light? Nope. And of course, that must be true, because the spiritual worlds are the template for our human existence. So if we have war, that's a reflection of war in spirit. But what I discover through reading Revelation, the very last book in the Bible, is that eventually we do arrive at a state of peace that the book calls the New Jerusalem. It descends from on high. So my last thoughts about peace is that perhaps we only come to it through war. We need help. Was that you, Lorraine? Okay.
No, so it's Margaret.
Margaret. Okay. So that's the end of my thoughts about peace. And thank you, John, for getting us to think about it. And I thought next I'd read from John Plummer's, the contribution that John Plummer has sent to us. And John's contributions are often like haikus, that they are short, succinct, and packed with meaning. So this is what John says. To me, it seems peace is already with us as Christ is with us. But his peace gets drowned out by all the noise of our lives inside and out. But if we can quiet all that and consciously connect with Christ, then we can find peace, no matter the external circumstances. For me, the Mass is a particularly helpful way to do this. Love, John. So I thought that was says everything in a nutshell to me. And I thought that the next person I would ask is actually Sheila. You're next on my list, Sheila.
Thank you. And I really liked what you both had to say, Melody and John, but also John Plummer's very succinct reply. And I feel like I feel as though what I'm going to say builds on that a bit, because I've put the place I create peace in my life most is when I have a day, or preferably 2 days, at home on my own. And then at first I'm just relaxing, getting over maybe tensions that I haven't released before during the past previous days when I was busy with people and groups. And then I write, being a Virgo, I write a list of what I'm going to do quite often. And I include sort of the mass, which I do mostly about around 5 o'clock at night or then, and a meditation, and some maybe some exercises, which I tend to do in the early morning when I wake up, and sometimes a bit before I do mass at night to do with Qigong. And then I've got various things like remembering to gently strike my singing bowl, because it's got a beautiful energy which goes through the house. And I have the time to do a few things like that. And so I build as the day goes. And at first it feels like not much is happening, but gradually I notice I'm quietening down. And then I'm able to reflect more. And I'm very grateful to have a home and that ability to do that, and a garden. And I do go and sit in the garden, but in the winter I don't take my shoes off, I must say, because when I have bare feet on the ground, I think that's good. Yeah, little things gradually throughout the day. Plus maybe I've got one task I need to do or something, and a bit of housework. So that's my main way.
I've got a task I have to do.
Of finding peace. And I'm just, and it means it's always available to me, and I can look forward to it until I die, unless things change. And I'm just, I know there's disadvantages to living on your own, but that's one of the advantages of having so much space and having this house. So I'm very, very grateful for that. And that's really my main choice.
Yes. That's beautiful. And I love it that your peace begins within your house. It's really interesting that in astrology, the fourth house, home, is the house of peace and resolution of conflict. And the opposite house is the 10th house, which is career, going outside into the world. And it's also, in mundane astrology, it's the house of war. If you want to know about war, you look to the 10th house. That's lovely. Thank you. I love your routines and your practices that enhance all that. Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Rain, can we hear from you and Stuart?
Yeah. Thinking about peace in my life has been tough this week. I'm packing for a week's holiday with my family in Moala on the New South Wales coast. First time in 6 years we've all been together. All my security of peace has faltered, but I still will do my meditations and my spiritual practices in secret in my room. The exceptional cold weather has aggravated my rheumatoid, but it's not about me, so back to self. Greg, my cousin, the reason I'm going, has had cancer and needs some support. My greatest asset is my Christ, my meditation, and Stuart for peace. That's me. So shall it be.
Wow. Thank you. Stuart.
Spending my life in the rain. I also find the beach very healing, and also doing breathing down there. Love cooking. Sitting in the garden is so peaceful. Christ flows through me.
Oh, you. Thank you. I love that last phrase that Christ flows through you, and we loved living on the beach, by the way. We lived on two places near the beach, and it's just awesome. And like Melody said, we were gifted with this house where I walk out the door and I just see sheep. No people. Because like Rain said, it's actually having to go and be with people
Yes.
sometimes really difficult to cope with still. I wonder if that's the reason the fourth house, which is home and family, is the house of peace, because you have to work so hard with conflicts with your family to get to the peace. But thank you.
That's true.
Very interesting thought. I'll just interpolate Ivana, who couldn't be here today, into the picture. And she couldn't be here, but she sent quite a comprehensive discussion. And she's got quite a technique, which is interesting. The way I get to peace, well, I do the method of TBTE. I don't know what that initial means, but I can ask her. I think she describes what it means. Most people are not familiar to it, as it's very hard to do. Most people are addicted to ease, so it's not for them. However, this method
Ease.
brings about inner peace. Not out of peace, there is a difference. How to get to peace? Owning where I have done that trait? Where is the opposite also true? What are the benefits to that bad experience? What are the drawbacks to the good experience? So I think she's describing this technique. So when she's self-reflecting, she seems to say these four things. She looks at herself, the traits that she's got, whatever they might be, and owns them. And then when she looks at a proposition, she looks to see whether the opposite is also true. And then she looks to her experiences, good and bad, and counterbalances them, which I think are all good things do. So it goes on much, much more, but once you balance out the mind, in goes through the body and you get centered. You will feel the muscles relax as you clear your emotional charges, and a clear mind and body is the outcome. You will see the order of things, the order of God. That's peace. Peace is not running away from a scary, traumatic event. It's actually owning both sides of yourself, the good and the terribly bad, degrading them, and loving you as you are in perfect order. That's true inner peace, but unless you have done this, you will not understand what I'm talking about. Blessings, Ivana. But I understand from what everyone's said so far, everyone does understand what Ivana's talking about, so she's in a good company. Lynn has, as you saw, if you sit, check the FP emails, Lynn unfortunately is experiencing really difficult health problems, and she had a flare-up that meant that she couldn't even send us something for today. Judith, may we hear the wisdom of Judith, please? She always looked forward to.
I, for me, obviously, in life is just the joy, the quiet, and being a raging Aries. It's taken me many years to understand what peace was in any form, but for me, it's an inner thing, and physical form it takes the form of looking and giving enormous thanks for A, living in Australia, very important. I think that those great to be and I think in the rays of the sun that's up plus is there. I know I look at I grow my plants flowers fruit and to be in nature in the tiniest of ways pouring that serenity that comes within and after a lifetime I don't know storm there is an incredible calm and serenity within me, and there's not a lot that can affect it. It's just a great welling up of it's, I guess it's that living water thing, that it's just there all the time, and I don't know how to express it properly, other than to say that my life is peaceful, my life is quiet and self-reflective, and I'm a God botherer. I sat with Christ, and the luminous beings that surround us, and all of the hierarchies, really, and they're just part of my life. It's just this interplay of quiet serenity, and doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It can't affect what is there. And I think when I look out into the world and I see that it's not only Christ that I see, but the amazing amount of people working with peace and doing the things that bring about peace. I know that there's humongous forces against that, but knowing and experiencing that flow it seems to be so apparent, where people are striving in every way, shape, and form to bring light into this world. Everything from growing coral in places where it's too hot, or I don't know, acts of great kindness and charity. I don't know. I find it very hard to express what's in me, but it's just such. Quiet. It's just so quiet. There's no white noise. It's just quiet. It's just peace. If it's in me, and it can only, if it's in us, then you know, one expresses it just by being.
Yes, that's really beautiful. And I love the path to serenity in your life and the living water. And you actually made me realise, Judith, that everyone who's here today, we're basically the oldies. The two young people, Martin and Ivana, they couldn't be here. And I find that quite significant, actually, because recently I asked God, why is it that most of the priests are old? Why do we only attract old people? Why don't we get lots of young people? And the answer flashed back. Because the young people are too vulnerable to the forces that are active in the world at the moment, whether you call it social media, whether you call it fake news, it doesn't really matter. But we who have grown old and hardened our astrals, apparently we're immune to a lot of those very negative energies flying around the world. So therefore, the priesthood is held by the oldies. And I love the way you described that path, because we've all had to work so hard. I don't think any of us has found it easy. So thank you so much, Judith. And that would bring us to Peter.
Welcome home.
Peter. Thank you for the brilliant photo.
Oh, well, I'm adjusting to this weather.
But it's a shock.
It's a big shock, my poor body. I think this for me has been a really interesting question. And there's a realization for me that peace for me starts with self, very much with self.
True.
How I feel, think about myself. Accepting self, being less judgmental, having less negative thoughts, listening to self more. So this peace is something that I'm always striving for, but I feel there are often obstacles in the way, and it can be elusive. as I said, it can be impacted by negative thinking, illness, tiredness, being overly influenced by events in the world. And I know, I feel that I should be less affected by these things, but the reality is that I am. And I know Christ is present with me, in me, all around me. But sometimes other things get in the way that lessen his influence over me. It's interesting coming home from 8 weeks or 6 weeks, sorry, away. I felt tired, disorientated, a bit unwell. I've got a cough. And the way I've handled that is just adjusting or accepting the reality of what is happening or what I'm observing, what I'm going through. And I don't feel, or I haven't felt, particularly peaceful. But the last couple of days, as I gain more control, the peace is starting to flow more strongly. And it's about controlling emotions. It's taking care of my astral body, being angry, fearful, impact my ability to experience peace. But when I come to grips with the obstacles and I become quieter, my thoughts can slow down and the deeper feeling levels become more prominent. So in a sense, I can achieve emotional peace. I can embrace, once I'm feeling peaceful within myself, I can enhance that by sitting in silence, communing more strongly with Christ, being in nature, listening to uplifting music, observing beautiful paintings, being in the garden, playing the piano, singing. And what this means for me is I naturally become more compassionate, a stronger or recovering that ability to see self and others as spiritual beings and accepting more strongly just what is. So I find that it's a state of being that I crave for. I'm certainly more peaceful at this age than I used to be when I was younger. So it is more a part of me. I've just got to be more cognizant of the influences around me and within me that impede the flow of peace within myself. So it's learning, it's just being observant, it's just being aware of self and how I am and why I am as I am. So it is a goal that I strive to achieve more often in my life, but it's there most of the time. So that's it. So shall it be.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's just beautiful. And I loved that you brought out, because I find this too, that events in the world can be really hard to cope with because they can bring out an anger, they can bring out a compassion, they can bring out all sorts of emotions. And we have to find, as you said, we have to find that it's like walking a tightrope. that compassion that we have because of what's happening to other people, deaths, all the disasters, and not being pushed off that tightrope into some sort of abyss. And I love that you said that you started with emotional peace, and then by sitting in silence, you would engage in other activities, and then finally the compassion would come out. So thank you so much for that. And I think from memory that compassion is the attribute of the Buddha. The Buddha was the one, but the Buddha was preparing the way for Christ, as I understand it, and compassion then must lead to peace, since Christ is the Prince of Peace. So thank you so much. Is Margaret, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. John, can you hear me?
Yes, yeah, we can hear you fine. We just can't see your beautiful face. But if you would like to...
that's probably a blessing. my turn, John? Is it my turn?
Your turn.
Okay.
Your turn.
Thank you. Well, I've been contemplating this, how to create peace in your life and what it means to me, probably for the past week or since we were asked. When I go to sleep at night, I say the rosary, and that is really peaceful. It quietens me down. What happened when this question came up, I started the rosary, but then I started saying the Mass, serene light shining in the ground of my being. And I went to sleep with that, and I woke up in the morning, and I realised that, you know, the Holy Spirit, I think it just comes in through you. And it was like, peace is a choice. And it's either a choice I find in my daily life to listen to the loud voice, the ego that pushes itself forward, you know, me, 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 or to learn to listen to the quiet voice of my soul, the quiet voice in the background, the ground of my being, which is the peace. And every day I try to choose that, listen quietly to that small voice, which is always constantly there. It's just me learning to listen to it. It reminds me of back in the day, you know, the theme would always be peeling off the layers of the onion. So it's peeling off the layers of the ego, to create peace and harmony. It means for me greater joy and fullness within my soul, but it's hard work. Constantly observing my thoughts, constantly talking to myself, which Judith has taught me to do. Words, actions, peeling off the layers, centering around that every day. It means diminishing my physical senses, allowing light of spirit to take its rightful higher place within me, and allowing the spiritual organs to grow, to hear, to see, to know, to act, to ultimately return to spirit. I've learned a lot from all of you, and I'm so grateful because my life is so different now. I feel light. I mean, of course, huge things come to interrupt that peace, particularly one of my sons in the past week, ready to divorce him again. But it doesn't disturb me like it used to, because one of the things too is you look at everybody differently with different eyes, and you see love inside them, which is enormous, and it calms me down. I know James, my youngest son, was abusive to his father. His father was upset, and then James rang me. He said, "Mum, I knew you'd be calm about it." And I said, "Well, that's a bit of a change, isn't it, James? You know, me to be calm about it." But what I'm trying to say is I've tried so hard, and it's not easy. Gosh, it's been difficult to just get my ego out of the way. I don't have to be right about anything. My higher self has got to be right. That's the beauty. And what then this passage from the Bible came up. I don't even know where it is in the Bible, but when you get to that place, it's sort of like you only see the Christ then. Everywhere I look, I try. I mean, God, I've got a long way to go, enormous way to go, but I am beginning, with the help of all of you, to see and to control my astral, I guess. And that's been the best thing for me. The garden, Shula introduced me. I had never done gardening until I retired. Shula said, go into the garden. I said, oh, God, I want a garden. Now I can't get out of my garden. It's like I just love it so much. I've been thinking about painting, but that's all that's been happening. I'm thinking about it. But I want to, that's all I want to do. I mean, I've just been sat, just before I came in today, I was listening to the gardening show. I just love it. And when I walked around your garden, Sharon, the other day, oh, I loved it because everything was so healthy in your garden. You look after it so beautifully. And I come home to my garden and it's beautiful, but I know there's still a lot of care to go into it. You know, there's, I've got to, you know, Sharon, you should see my lemon tree since you've been here. It has grown and it's lush. So they're the things that you all give to me that has allowed me to have the harmony and the peace that I've looked for all my life. And I understand how hard we have to work at that, or particularly I understand how hard I have to work at that. But it's the best joy that you could ever have in your life, and that's the only way I want to live now. So I love you all. Thank you, and thanks for the opportunity.
Love you
to peace and what it means to me. So
thank
shall
you,
it be.
Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you.
Thank you. So shall it be. So peace is a choice. I think we all agree with that. And you're peeling off the layers and running out of time because we want to give John as much time as possible, but I cannot resist a Mario anecdote about peeling off layers. Mario was doing a tour of Queensland for some godforsaken reason. Why would anyone go to Queensland? Anyway, sorry. He was doing a tour of Queensland and after his talk, a gentleman from the audience invited him to dinner. And so he took Mario back to his place. And Mario was always incredibly convivial. He would go with anyone. He would he had this great ability of chatting to anyone. So he went back to this guy's place, and he was an older person, and Mario was a young, fiery redhead. And this guy said, "Now, Mario, I want you to take note of what I'm doing." And he started peeling an onion. He said, "You know, see, Mario, I'm peeling the layers up layer by layer, layer by layer, layer." And he kept on going, kept going all the way till all the layers were gone. And he said to Mario, "Now, what's left?" And Mario said, "Well, nothing." And the man said to him, "That's exactly right. When you peel off all the layers of yourself, there's nothing left." I'm not going to explain that. I'll just leave it to the mystics to understand what was being said there. But Mario found it a profound lesson. And that brings us to the terrible twosome. The team of intellectuals who make the rest of us run for cover, Grace and Sharon, since all together in one place, we've got to come up with a name for you, but I cannot think what. Mercy and Dane have made themselves a team and they're dancing, but I have no idea how you combine Grace and Sharon and make it, because Grabin or Chase just don't go down well for me.
No,
but
no.
Grace, perhaps you could start us off.
Yay! Okay. Where do I start? I think for me, the in my in the elevation ceremony, there's a it's Mario's prayer, you know, the meritus prayer, and it's always really kind of hit me, you know, that there's a peace that passes all understanding,
yeah,
and abides in the heart of those who live in the eternal. And I've always found that quite puzzling, and as to what it actually meant, I think. And then for me, elevation kind of threw the whole world into complete disarray, and I found myself out of my relationship, out of my home, in bloody Christchurch, which is freezing cold, and in a job which, even though there aren't cannons and people aren't dying, was a war zone. Quite literally, it was a psychological and emotional war zone. And I've spent 10 years learning how to be peaceful in a war zone so that I didn't just join it and be what I was surrounded by every day, because that seemed to me that that's definitely not the place of a free, you know, not the role of a free peace to join in with it. And so for me, working on peace and inner peace has been a 10-year work, really, and quite a conscious one. So it was interesting when you asked the question, John, because I've thought about it a lot for many years. So one of the things that I think that I do to create peace is that I'm a very have a very strong physicality in the world. I'm you know, I need to move. I'm a kinesthetic learner, and in order to have any kind of stillness in any kind of part of my being, I actually have to move my body. I can't listen if I don't draw. I can't, you know, like it's always been the way. So I walk, and or I garden, and you know, the kind of peacefulness that comes from being in a garden, because that's the way. By moving, I get to listen to myself, because that somehow that movement enables me to find a place of centering. I think doing the mass is enormously important. And, you know, recently when the war zone became overt rather than covert, I asked for prayers, and I've never done it, and I was astonished. I was astonished that it worked. Because, you know, I pray for people all the time, but, and, you know, and I put have people in my mass every day, and but, you know, really, you know, you know, I'm a bit of a doubting Thomas, and you know, I physically experienced that it does work, and the thing that I have absolutely been practicing in the last 7 months, until I finally got myself out of my job, was quite consciously being in the here and now, which of course, you know, is being in the eternal, and it took 10 years. But I kind of worked it out, and
that's good.
Yeah, and I can't do it all the time, but I have experienced profound peace in what has been one of the most appalling episodes in my life over this previous months, and I haven't been destroyed by it. I feel very whole at the end of something that was, that, you know, in previous times when I've had similar experiences, I've been completely shattered, and that's not what's happened this time. And that is because actually inside, you know, I know the Christ dwells with me.
Wow.
That's me.
Well, that is profound. Thank you, Grace. It almost sounded as though the reason that you were sent to Christchurch was to have that experience and develop that peace. That is amazing. Yeah, thank you. Such a journey. And I love your comment that about the effect of prayer. It is astounding when it happens for you. You know, Mario once said that he wanted a group of priests who did nothing but pray for the world, for other people. And in a sense, that's what FP has become. And from time to time, people turn into a discussion group or this, that, or the other, and that doesn't really fly very much. But what does work powerfully is everyone's prayers.
Yeah.
And I've experienced. Yeah. So thank you for telling us that. That's just beautiful.
Thanks. It's because of prayer.
Yes, I think you do, Judith. That is so true. So thank you so much, Grace. And let's finish with Sharon.
Oh, over to you. Thank you for leaving me till everything's been said. I'm not sure that's good. But when I first, when this question was first raised, I thought that was interesting because I've been talking with John. And what came to my mind was peace as the balance point for me. So when I know I'm in a position of peace, or when I'm feeling peaceful, I know I'm in that state because I can feel a power that is indwelling within me. And that power gives me the ability to create and bring healing or whatever it is that I need to do in a moment. So it's about a positioning, and it's about and reaching that position for me really does come from balancing all of the opposing opposites that we have, the sort of oppositions that you have in a war situation. So necessarily it's related to war, but it is the balancing point. And I keep thinking about that when we see the tree of life and you have the pendulum swinging from one side to the other, and we are either stuck in the Aramaic influences or Luciferic or whatever the dichotomy is. When you reach, when that pendulum stops swinging and you reach a balance, then I think you have the creative power to do and achieve things that were previously impossible. So I then for me that I know when that power is emanating from me. I know when I'm in that position of peace. It's not a permanent state for me, unfortunately, but it'd be nice if it was. There's three other, how I achieve that peace, primarily, well, if I look at it, the peace as being like a physical thing, then to me that peace comes from an electric blanket and a very light, warm doona, and I settle into peace. And it is a particular type of peace because my whole body relaxes with that warmth. Then there's an emotional peace that comes. So no matter whatever else is going on in the world, I can reach that emotional peace by listening to music. And it could be any sort of music, but usually it's something that has a particular rhythm and it comes from a certain vibrational level. So I can hit that point from music. That this that stillness. And of course if I'm looking for that spiritual peace, which the others have to have existed first, then that comes from communion with Christ and with the community in Christ, talking to people, ringing John Pattenden, talking to people in Frankston, annoying the hell out of Grace, whatever. But it comes from that communion. And the essence of that is in the Mass as well, in doing the Mass. So if I'm really out of whack, the Mass will bring me into that point of balance, peace, and then I'm empowered. So the Mass is important in that aspect of me, very important. It's an important thing for me to do, even though I don't do it all the time, because I'm a bit of a slow learner. So I have to be constantly reminded of the necessity of these things for my spiritual well-being. I think that's... everything that everybody has said here is part and parcel of the process of me getting to that peace. But I'm just really relating to you the particular things that came up to me first off when it was mentioned. And it was very much that point of peace is a balancer. It's the balance point. It's the balance point where that Christ power can then be enabled within me. That's it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And because I'm sitting here with a pen and a pad in front of me, and my hand was just automatically just drawing things. When you were talking about the balance, I've discovered I'd drawn a little seesaw.
Yes.
And the seesaw balance around.
Can I say something, darling? Can I say something? I drew a triangle.
Yes. It's your triangle, Melody. It's your triangle from last week from your talk, and the two bottom the bottom of your triangle is there. The pinnacle is the point that is the balance point. Yeah, very, very strong image. It was part and parcel of the preparation. Thank you.
And
thank you.
When Mark that triangle, the bottom was the opposing opposites. So you were talking about Lucifer and Ahriman, who are in opposition, and then he would draw the point at the top as Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is always the balance point.
Mm-hmm. And he used to doodle in triangles, if you remember.
Yes.
Yeah.
All the time. Well, thank you all for your wonderful contributions, and we come to the high point of today. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. A friend of ours, Stephen Cugley, has what he calls a Johannine community, and he calls us the Pauline community. But Stephen has got no Johns in his community, so how he can be Johannine, I do not know. We, on the other hand, have three. So I present to you the third John, the balance of all of who makes us, who's the one that really makes us Johannine. Thank you, John.
Well, thanks for the introduction. Well, you've all made so much sense. It makes me think that what I'm going to say is probably not going to make much sense to you at all.
We'll love it anyway.
We love you.
One thing I've discovered anyway is that writing does not give me peace at all. I can find it absolutely traumatic. To think of something to write. I'm just not trying in writing in any academic way. So I'm going to give you a few pictures that I can relate to, and hopefully you can relate to them in some way. I'm not going to worry about it. I have a picture on my fridge with a caption that says, "Worry is a complete waste of time, and all it does is steal your joy and keeps you very busy doing nothing. However, I am constantly finding new things to stop worrying about. Many years ago, I read that about roughly 250,000 people die every day, and even more are born every day. And I got a very clear picture of an enormously busy airport in the clouds. And there were so many arrivals and so many departures every day. Then I thought of all the loved ones waving goodbye with a hanky in hand, or expectantly waiting for the sliding doors to baggage collection to open, and their loved one appearing with their baggage. And it was like all those babies coming down to earth and bringing some baggage with them. And we were overjoyed to see them arrive. And at the same time, those that were leaving, we were weeping. It made me think of the constant cycles of lives, many lives, and life and creativity constantly is moving forwards. And it's always renewing. After Annette passed away, this picture of the airport and the spiritual worlds came back to me very clearly. And it was as if someone was trying to tell me something. Rather than focus on my own grief, I should have compassion for all those who have also lost someone. And everyone of us will go through this, perhaps many times, losing people in this life. Or we will be the one going through the departure lounge, and others will be waving us goodbye sadly. And for me, that helped me to not be sentimental and to focus on the now and the future. And the past is the foundation that I stand on. And looking at things from that spiritual point of view gave me a lot of inner peace at that time. And that view of life constantly going on has given me quite a lot of peace. Another picture is, I mentioned a while ago, that in that wrote a letter to me, Valentine's Day letter. And throughout it, she mentions Christ, how he shows the way to love, he guides us. And the picture that letter paints for me is the two of us together with Christ in between us, like the sun shining down on us. And it's that triangle image again. And as I said to me a few times, that I have a good balance of the masculine and the feminine within me. And I've taken that on board. And for me, it's that same triangle. It's the masculine and the feminine within, united in Christ. That's also a picture that comes to mind when I'm interacting with someone else. There's me and the other person, and between us is Christ. Even if it's just going into a shop and interacting with the shopkeeper, having that image in mind, triangle, with Christ in the middle between. It changes the atmosphere. Somehow, Christ is always present in that interaction. And so keeping that image in mind surrounds me with peace. And it's the same now. Christ is here now between you and me. In this, or we're all in different rooms, but we're connected by Zoom. And Christ is in that connection. Another picture which came to mind, which I'm sure you'll all be familiar with, an image that came to mind was five steps leading up to a five-walled garden. And there are 10 rose bushes along each wall. It's the rosary. I've been doing the rosary regularly for 2 or more years. And like others, I've discovered if I do it at night, I'm much more at peace.
Yeah.
And I'm also much more likely to sleep right through the night until dawn. And if I do it in the morning, I find I'm more productive during the day. I just seem to get on with things and much more focused. The rosary takes me 10, 15 minutes, something like that. If I sleep better, I get that time back. The same during the day. If I'm more productive, I get more done, and I get the time back. That time in prayer is never wasted. I actually profit in terms of time by spending time in prayer. Another picture to bring to mind is a glass of wine and a loaf of bread.
Yes. Yeah.
I've been doing the Mass almost every day for 25, maybe 30 years. And while I know it's not for everyone, for me, it's my meditation space. And while my mind and body are busy doing the Mass, my spirit is free to listen. And this gives me a great deal of inner peace. And also, like many others, I like to go for a walk in the countryside, along winding paths through the trees. Even though this time it's usually very icy and cold, but I like to go for a walk every day. And living up here, it's usually walking alone. And I found that very helpful. My consciousness can expand into the trees and the clouds above. And after about half an hour of walking and talking to myself, I can usually start talking some sense to myself. It's not usually anything earth-shattering, it's just ideas of how to solve a problem. Or what to do about something around the house and the garden. One thing I've noticed also, especially since I've turned 70, and John mentioned the 10th house in Korea, I've let it go, and I now don't worry about work at all. So, there are no office politics. I couldn't give a toss about it. I also used to shout at the telly, all these idiots, especially in the news, all these idiots starting wars. And lying and cheating.
Lying.
But now, when I listen to the news, all I do is pray for peace.
Yeah.
And pray for compassion.
Yes.
Amongst everyone. A few days ago, somebody said something which I thought was quite profound. Honesty with kindness is love. Honesty without kindness can be brutal.
Yes.
Kindness with honesty is love, but kindness without honesty can be manipulation. The two have to go together. Kindness and honesty. Same as love and compassion. Always go together.
It's beautiful.
I'll stop there.
Kindness, honesty is love.
I think you've created a big silence, John. It's an incredible silence and stillness, which is peace in itself. Yes, JR just said brought Christ out of the Zoom network, and it reminded me that Mario had said Araman was in the technology, but Christ is always in the communication. So we do use Araman, and through using Araman, actually we get to transform Araman as well. And one of the lovely things you said, John, reminded me of when Emily was baptized by JR, and you were talking about being in the departure lounge, and JR saw this image of the spiritual beings crying as Em was coming into incarnation at her baptism. And yet when the souls left the departure lounge, they were all thrilled to pieces in spirit. So when we cry, we lose a loved one, they're so rejoiced at when they go home. And when we have a soul coming into incarnation, they're all crying because they've lost one. They feel like we do when someone dies. Mm-hmm. So that was quite profound to me when you spoke like that, John. And when I first started doing the rosary, I thought it was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever seen. But of course, you were a Catholic, so you would understand it. But I actually hated it, and I forced myself to do it, because when you're in your 70s, you have to make sure that you do something against what you prefer to do. So anyway, I started doing it, and then I discovered I just loved it, and I love it now to this very day. And the Mary part, so love that being, and I'm so grateful to that being as well. So I just wanted to thank you, John, because I think you have the most incredible mystical nature. And yeah, unbelievably mystical, beautiful voice, beautiful words, and the Mass for me always stilled the thoughts that would go around in my head. It's the most stilling experience, and stillness in and of itself speaks. So another form of peace. I really want to thank everybody for their contributions today, because I thought it was a wonderful subject. And John didn't mention this, but he said, since I spoke about war last month, he might speak about peace, because that's War and Peace. He wrote War and Peace. Tolstoy, yes. War and Peace. I think it was J.R.'s favorite book. But it just brought out so much of us. I think it was an amazing thing to speak of and amazing thing to contemplate. Made a huge, huge difference to my life, and every single one of you are so precious to me, and I know we all feel the same way about each other. So I want to give a huge round of applause to John for that talk, because I thought it was absolutely unbelievable. Thank you so much.
Put your hands in. Thank you, John.
And yeah, now JR's going to play the Kyrie.